All right, so we're in the third Perek of the Book of Judges, Book of Shofetim, and we are up to Pasuk Yudbet. So the Pasuk says over here, Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael la'asot hara b'enei Hashem, Vayachazek Hashem et Eglon melech Moab al Yisrael, Al ki asu et hara b'nei Hashem, Vayesof elav et b'nei Amon v'amalek, Vayelech vayach et Yisrael v'yirishu et ir ha-temarim, ויעבדו בני ישראל את עגלון מלך מואב שמונה עשרה שנה ויזעקו בני ישראל אל אדוני ויקם אדוני להם מושיע את אהוד בן גרה בן הימיני איש אתר יד ימינו וישלחו בני ישראל בידו מנחה לעגלון מלך מואב ויעש לו אהוד חרב ולה שני פיות גומד אורכה ויחגור אותה מתחת למדיו על ירך ימינו ויקרב את המנחה לעגלון מלך מואב ועגלון איש בריא מאוד והיא כאשר קילה להקריב את המנחה ושלח את העם נושא המנחה הוא שב מן הפסילים אשר את הגלגל ויומד דברסתר לי אליך המלך ויומר הס ויצאו מעליו כל העומדים עליו ואהוד בא אליו והוא יושב בעליית המקרה שלו לבדו ויומר אהוד דבר אלוהים לי אליך ויקום מעל הכיסא This is a famous episode. The Torah is telling us the story of the Jewish people in the times of the Shofetim. What happens over here is that the Jewish people again fall into bad behavior. That's exactly right, Doctor. Vatishkot ha'aris 40 shana. Last week we learned that there was relative peace for 40 years after Otniel ben Kenaz, his reign. And Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael la'asot hara b'nei Hashem. Although the text does not tell us what they did. It just says, la'asot hara b'nei Hashem. Vayachazek Hashem et eglon melech Moab al Yisrael. The king that came against us was Eglon, the king of Moab. And who joined him? The Pasuk says, Vayesop elav et b'nei Amon ba'amalek. So that's the three enemies that, the axis of evil that aligned against us. And they attacked us in the city of Temarim. Ira Temarim is, Palm Beach. Temarim is a palm tree. So, and that's the city of Yericho, technically. And they were under the domination of Eglon Melech Moab for 18 years. God sent us a Moshiach. The name of the Moshiach is Ehud ben Gera. The Torah tells us he is Haimini. He is from the tribe of Binyamin. And he redeemed us by making a Heref. Bela Shne Piyot. It's a double-edged sword. We call that Shne Piyot. Guide. Gomed orka, Gomed, Rashi says amma. It's one amma in its length. Vayahgor oto metahat lemadav, and he put it underneath his garments. Al yerech yemino, on his right on the right side. Eventually he's going to take this Cherev and he's going to go kill Eglon. I don't want to spoil that. That'll be next week's class, Be'ezat Hashem. But before we even get into the details of this episode, we need to explain some things here. The Navi doesn't tell us what sins we committed. It just says, "Vayosifu od la'asot atara b'enei Hashem." The Navi doesn't give us the details of what the sin was. So we have to be investigators, forensic investigators, to figure out from the text what the sin must have been. Well, that's by Yosifu. That's one way of understanding. They continued to do whatever they were doing before. Although it's 40 years later, so by Yosifu could be it's a new thing. The common denominator was it was another bad. They continued to do bad, but what was that bad? Well, what do we know? The facts that we know was that it aroused the nation of Moab against us, Eglon Melech Moab. We know that they attacked us in the city of Palms, which is Jericho. And we know that God sent a redeemer by the name of Ehud ben Gera from the tribe of Binyamin. You ever played a game, Clue? Remember Colonel Mustard? So anyway, in this over here, we have some clues to exactly try to put together what was going on over here. That means it has to be a reason why God sent Moab against us, so many nations. Why was the original attack at Palm Beach, at Eid Tamarim? And why was it that God sent us Ehud ben Gera is the Yemini, the fellow from Binyamin? So, you need an introduction, Rabotai, to understand the nature of Moab and then this alliance that they made. It's very interesting to know. Moab didn't come after us alone. The Pasuk says, Vayesof elav et bene Amon v'amalek. So you have over here the hat trick. You have the three nations over here. You have Amon, Moab, and Amalek. Jaime, please, no plastic straws in the synagogue. You know, mercy on the environment. They're finding straws in the stomach of whales, the nose of the tortoises and the manatees, and people have no regard. They still use plastic straws. When are they gonna learn? All right. Anyway, back to the. Sorry, I had to make that maha'a. Can't tell you how much it bothers me when I see people using plastic straws. Just no regard for the environment whatsoever.
Global warming.
Yeah, that's just. And they're drinking it like it's nothing. You know, it's unbelievable. Anyway. I was just in Florida, Starbucks. The only straws they give you is the paper straws. So after three sips, the thing decomposes on you.
What's more important?
The drink or the almond? That's what it is. It's an amazing thing. So people are taking four of them instead. So now you have quadruple the amount of waste. Anyway, that's my maha'a of the day, Rabotai, against the plastic straws, please.
It's a law now?
It's a law, yeah. Anyway, by the way, they found also humans in the stomach of whales. So maybe we should ban humans. I don't know. They eat people also. Let's ban human beings because they get into the whale stomach. Anyway, so over here you have to understand this alliance that's taking place over here between Amon, Moab, and Amalek. This, according to the Torah, is the evil of the axis of evil. This is it. And the akdama that you need to know is the following. We are always aware that God told us to go into Eretz Yisrael and we got to knock out the seven nations. But what many people are not aware of, that it's not seven nations. It's 10 nations. And that, if you go back to Brit Ben Abetarim, when Borei Olam gave this prophecy to Moshe to Avraham Abinu, so the text says over there, I'll find it right there when he gives them the Pasuk says, ביום ההוא קראת השם את אברהם ברית לאמור לזרעך נתתי את הארץ הזאת מנהר מצרים עד הנהר הגדול נהר פרה from the נהר מצרים to the Euphrates. Now watch this. את הקני, את הקניזי ואת הקדמוני, את החיטי, את הפריזי ואת הרפאים, את האמורי, את הקנעני, את הגרגשי ואת היבוסי. It's 10 nations. So this misconception that people say, oh, it's the seven nations, it's not seven, it's 10. Rashi comes along and says, in a very, very important Rashi over here, Eser umot yesh kan, ve'lo natan lahem ela shev'a goyim. We only got 7 out of the 10 so far. There are still 3 nations that are outstanding, that they are not under our control yet. Vashlosha, and who are the 3? Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Wow. Edom being Amalek, which is exactly this axis of evil that joined up against us over here. This was a group of an alliance of Amalek, Ammon, and so those are the 3 most dangerous nations to Bnei Yisrael. And in the pasuk over here by Abraham, Vehem keni kenizi kadmoni, atidim liyot yirusha le'atid. They're going to be inherited le'atid. Shne'emar Edom u'Moav mishloach yadam u'bnei Ammon mishmatam. So that is very, very significant. So we have to break up the 10 nations into 3 and 7. That's the magic divide. The 7 that we have conquered already, and the 3 that are, you know, unconquered yet. And those are the 3 biggest kilipot against Klal Yisrael, Amalek, Ammon, and Moab. And we'll see exactly what they represent. Once you understand this, we understand a few things. We understand that if you look, for example, of the Ben HaMetzarim, those are the days that we mourn the Galut, so there's 3 weeks, there's 3 Shabbatot. The 3 Shabbatot of Ben HaMetzarim represent the 3 nations. That's why there's 3 weeks. Those 3 Shabbatot are called Gimal de Pur'anuta, the 3 weeks of Pur'anut. The Mekubalim write that the Shabbat Hazom, which is the Shabbat right before Tisha B'Av, that's Keneged, the biggest Kelipa, which is Amalek. And therefore that Shabbat has very, very great significance, because since it represents the greatest Tum'ah and our greatest enemy, so therefore Zeru Matzeh, the Shabbat of that Shabbat, has the greatest Kiddusha. It's a very, very, very special Shabbat, Shabbat Hazom. Now, after the 3 Shabbatot of Pur'anut, what do we have after that? Zayin the Nehamata, the 7 Shabbatot of Nehama. The 7 of Nehama is corresponding to the 7 nations that already are in our pocket. So therefore, Shilosha de Pur'anuta, Zayin the Nehamata. So that breakup of 3 and 7 is very, 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 very significant. Similarly, this will be accomplished when Eliyahu Navi comes in Mashiach. Eliyahu Tishbi, Eliyahu Giladi,
The Mefarshim say, according to some of the Sefarim HaKedoshim, that Eliyahu Navi came from, or his mother came from, Shevet Gad. If you remember when Gad was born, what did they say when Gad was born? No, that's the blessing.
Bagad.
Right, Bagad.
He's here.
Baruch Abba. He's here. God came. Okay, Bagad. Ajah. So, the Mekubalim say, what does it mean Bagad? Ba is Bet Aleph, is 3. Gad is Gimel Dalet, is 7. So, when God was born, they already saw Eliyahu Navi. So at that point they said, Bagad, that is going to be the combination of Bagad. In Olam Hazeh, he's God. It's only 7. However, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be Bagad, because the 3 are going to be conquered, and then we'll have the full tikkun of Asara. So that's another place where you see the concept of 3 and 7. A third place where we see this, these two numbers in Judaism, is in the 10 Sefirot. The 10 Sefirot, which start from Chokhmah, Binah, Da'at, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Nesach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. That's called Komash Shelema of the 10 Sefirot. However, we break up the Eser Sefirot and we say, we have the Gimel Rishonot, that's called the Gar, Gimel Rishonot, and then we have the Zat. Zat is Zayin Tahtonot. The Mekubalim always break up the Eser Sefirot in a Gar and a Zat. Gimel Rishonot, Chokhmah, Bina, Da'at, Zayin Tahtonot, Chesed Gevura Tiferet. Based on this, amazingly enough, the Zayin Umot that we conquered correspond to Zayin Tachtonot, Chesed, Geburah, Tiferet, but on the Kilipah side, on the Tum'ah side. And we were able to conquer them. The world is a world of 7. 7 days of the week, everything is broken down into 7. Because in this world, we're able to attach ourselves to the Zayin Tachtonot, to that, to those Midot. That's why it's a world of 7. Everything is 7 in Olam Hazeh. The Inyan of the top 3, Chesed is in the right hand, Gevurah is in the left hand, Tiferet is the torso, the legs are Nesach and Hod, Yesod is the Brit Milah, the legs are Malchut. That's the body. Where's Chokhmah, Bina, and Da'at? That's in the brain. That's already the higher Madrigot. Chokhmah, Bina, and Da'at. That, we're not going to reach those levels to serve God with Chokhmah, Bina, and Da'at and those high levels until Mashiach comes. Like it says in the Pasuk, Umaha'amale'ah ares de'ah kamayim layam mechasim. So when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a great influence of Chokhmah, an explosion of Da'at, of wisdom. Already that process has started, has begun. We are officially in the era of that Da'at being unleashed. If you remember, it says by Noah, Bishnat Sheshmeot, the Chaye Noah, Niftehu Kol Arubot Hashamayim. In the 600th year of Noah, the Arubot Hashamayim, the windows of the heaven, started to, floodgates of heaven opened up. The Mekubalim say that this is a remez to the year 5600. Shnat Sheshmeot of the last millennium, which was the year 5600, which is about but 179 years ago, which would put us where? 1800s? The 1800s, the world experienced the Industrial Revolution. All of a sudden, inventions started to come out, the world started to advance in those years, and continues to advance. Because now already we're at the final stages where the tikkun of the Zayin Tachtonot was already done. Now already the tikkun is happening in Chokhmah, Binah, and Da'at. Of course, that Chokhmah, Binah, and Da'at that started in Shnat Shesh Me'ot L'Chaye Noach, the Kilipa is using it for its nonsense. In the 1800s, that's when they started to create bombs and military, technology started to, and even today, every day new inventions are being made. That's a result of the Chokhmah that's being unleashed into the world. At the same time, since now we're already working on the top three, that's why we see already in that time of the Industrial Revolution, Esav reared his ugly head, which is Hitler. That's the Chokhmah of the Kilipah of Esav. The Kilipah of Esav during this time of the Chokhmah Binah V'Da'at time, where wisdom is infiltrating the world. Today they call the internet the information superhighway, smartphones. It's all Chokhmah, Binah, and everything is wisdom today. Knowledge, like it was never before, at the speed of light. But it's the Kilipah. The Kilipah of Chokhmah, Binah, V'Da'at, that's the challenge that we have today. We're fighting information. Whether it's the televisions, the internet, the cable, it's all information that they're flooding. In the olden days, there was not too much information. You'd get a letter once every 6 months from your grandmother who lived 2,000 miles away, and she would say, all is okay. I think I said it last week in the class, when we were in Israel learning, we would speak to our parents once a month for 2 minutes just to say that we were alive and send money, but then that's it. Today, information. We're addicted to information. That's Chokhmah. We're by those levels.
Last night, before I could call my six children,
they knew about it. Sure, they knew about it.
Why? Because he's you.
Right, Facebook. So now, so therefore, in that generation, of course, we're Chokhmah Binah V'Da'at, so that's why Hitler came up. Hitler, Stalin, all these, the Sha'im that come from that high level of Tum'ah, that's why they were very, 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 very strong. And at the same time, you see today that there's an influx of Chokhmah Torah, because that's the real Chokhmah Binah V'Da'at. The Chokhmah Binah V'Da'at is in the Chokhmah of the Torah. Today you see Sefarim in every single language, books that nobody had access to, books that only the elite were able to understand. Today you have art scroll, you have even Hebrew books that are explaining the deep interpretations of Kabbalistic concepts that were really closed to many people. In those days, who was learning Kabbalah? You had 90-year-olds learning Kabbalah. Today, it's available for all people to study. Today, a person can go online and access any book that he wants, and he can get it at his fingertips in 1 minute. In the olden days, if a guy wanted a sefer, he'd have to wait months. The Gaon Vilna, when he got one sefer of the Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lotzato, Adil Bamarom, he made a Yom Tov, he put on his Shabbat hat, and on his Shabbat coat, the Baruch Hashem, he got the Sefer of Ramchal. Today, the guy types in the thing, Adil Bamarom, he has the book, it's downloaded into his phone within 2 minutes. 5 minutes later, he can print it, he has it in his hand. 3 minutes later, he's learning it. It's incredible, the access of the information that we have today. And if a person gets the book and he doesn't know what it means, he can go to a website, somebody in the world has given a shi'ud on it, and he can listen to it. And all of a sudden, you become an expert in. So the Chokhmah Binah V'Da'at today is. So that means we're at the end. Once you see the information being promoted to such high levels, that you know you're at the end of the game. That already our job, we're not working anymore from the neck down. We're working in Chokmah Bina Bada'at. But that's why, with that, anti-Semitism has to rise, because you're going after now the three major enemies of Klai Yisrael. And to bring down that Kilipot, those Kilipot are only brought down with Chokmah Bina Bada'at of the good, that will bring down the Chokmah Bina Bada'at of the bad. And it's represented by Amon, Moab, and Amalek. So, that's the introduction to what these concepts represent. So now, all of a sudden, we get to our story in the Navi. We get to our story in the Navi, Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael la'asot hara b'nei Hashem. But we don't know what they were doing bad. So I told you, like the game Clue. We look for clues. Vehazek Hashem et Eglon Melech Moav. We say to ourselves, hey, Eglon Melech Moav. Eglon Melech Moav, he represents that access of evil. And who does he join up with? Vayesof elav et b'nei Amon v'Amalek. All of a sudden, in those days, these three nations, the worst nations against Christ, they were aroused. That must mean one thing, that the sin that Klai Yisrael was committing was they were delinquent in Chokmah Bina Bada'at, must have been Bitul Torah, and because they were involved in Bitul Torah, so automatically those are the three nations that are going to come against us. When Klai Yisrael is not involved in the real Chokmah Bina Bada'at of the Torah, it arouses the Chokmah Bina Bada'at, the top three of the Kalipa, Lera'ah. So look how we figured it out. Now, we also know that the Torah can be explained. Well, the Torah, we know, has 50 levels. Hamishim Sha'are Bina. The 50 levels of Bina. The 50 levels of Bina. Which some say Moshe Rabbeinu almost reached it, or actually reached it. If you look at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, when Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, what are you doing, laps, Elliot? What are you doing?
I just put him up.
Okay, I was just saying, are you almost there? How many laps are you supposed to do here?
Thank you.
You ready? You made a kafot for the whole Sabbat Torah already.
Two people, have six people.
No problem, I just want to know what you're doing. I'm getting dizzy. I can imagine how dizzy you are already. Still going. Amen. So the pasuk says over here, "Vayal Moshe me'arbot Moav el Har Nevo." Very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu dies in the area of Moab, Arbot Moab, on Mount Nebo. Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the epitome of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Sheba'al Peh, Moshe Rabbeinu reached the highest levels of Chokmah, of the 50th level. The Mekubalim say he's buried at Har Nebo. Nebo is Otiyot, Nun Bo. Meaning he has the Nun, he has the Hamishim. But God buries him, Zeh le'umat zeh, against the worst Kilipa. Who's the worst Kilipa against the Chokmah? Moab. Moab is how much? Mem Vav is 46, Aleph is 47, Bet is 2 is 49. But the Kolel, that's 50. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is buried in the area of Moab. Zeh le'umat zeh asa Elohim. And Moab is not conquered yet, but Moshe Rabbeinu is right there. Because that Kalipa only Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the Torah, can subjugate it. So the burial of Moshe in Chutz La'aretz is very important. If he's not buried in Chutz La'aretz, so then the Kalipa of Moab can go unchecked. The Kalipa of Moab can run wild. Borei Olam puts the tzaddikim strategically where they're buried, because only God knows where the Tum'ah is, so it keeps everybody, you know, at bay until the Mashiach comes, and these things will change. Now, Where does the first place where they attack? Vayaket Yisrael el Ira Temarim. That she says, Yiriho. Do you remember when we learned the story of the battle of Yiriho? So if you remember that Hakafot and the walls came down, but if you remember also that we learned that an angel came to Yeshua and the angel told him, you know, how come you're not learning? And Yeshua said, we're in the middle of fighting a war. So he said, you fight during the day. At night, you're supposed to learn. And the angel rebuked. That was the lesson that we learned from the story of Yiriho, that the angel came along and rebuked them. And therefore, Yiriho, the Mefarshim say, was actually conquered by those that came into Israel. The first thing they did was conquer Yiriho. Those that learned the Torah from, at least not from Moshe directly, or from Moshe or Yeshua, from the next generation. So the fact that they attacked Yiriho, Ir Temarim, is significant in the sense that that's the Ir that represents, to a certain degree, the Torah. So that's the sin. It's very, very interesting to know. If you look into the beginning of Devarim, in the beginning of Devarim, the Torah says, "Vayi ba'arba'im shana." בשתי עשר חודש דיבר משה בן עשר ככל אשר סיבה השם אותו. Look at this פסוק here. אחרי הכותו את סיחון מלך אמורי. They attacked סיחון, the king of אמורי. שלום עליכם. סתעבודי. ברוך הבא. אחרי הכותו את סיחון מלך האמורי אשר יושב בחשבון. So they attacked סיחון ואת עוג מלך הבשן בעבר הירדן. This was בארץ מואב. Amazing thing happens over here. They attacked סיחון, but סיחון initially attacked מואב. We weren't allowed to fight Moab. Moab is off limits until Mashiach comes. But Moab became purified through Sihon. Once Sihon conquered Moab, then we were able to take Moab via Sihon. So this is an amazing story here. So the Pasuk says, no coincidence. Right after we conquer Sihon, which has a piece of Moab in it, what does the pasuk say? Be'ever Yarden be'eres Moab, ho'il Moshe, Moshe began be'er et haTorah hazot. All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu starts to explain the Torah. What do you mean? The Torah was given in Parashat Yitro. Now Moshe starts to explain the Torah. The Mekubalim say once already, even a helik of Moab, which is represented in the top three, Chokmah Bina Vadad, the Chabad, already there was revelations that Moshe was able to give the people. Moshe knew everything. But the Mekubalim say he couldn't give it over until Moab, to a certain degree, was subjugated. And we couldn't fight Moab. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Sihon. Sihon took Moab. We took Sihon. And all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu says, now already, Hu'il Moshe Be'er, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to explain the Torah. And the more these three nations get conquered, the more Torah is going to start to come out. What we have of the Torah today is just a tip of the iceberg to the Hiddushim and revelations that are available. We're only connecting the Torah on the lower levels, on the seven levels. But in the levels of Chokhmah, Binah, and Daat, which is correspond to three nations, we don't have yet. So what happens? Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. So God brings them a Moshiach. Who's the Moshiach? Ehud ben Gera ben Haimini. Somebody from the tribe of Binyamin. Why the tribe of Binyamin? In last week's parasha we read, if you remember, that Yaakov Abinu had a tremendous attachment to Binyamin. Remember what the pasuk said? Benafsho, kishura, benafsho. That their souls were attached to each other. If anybody came to one of the shiurim this week, you heard the way we explained how we reach devekut. Devekut means attachment to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we explained it that it can only happen through the Torah. Kodesha Berichu, Israel, Oraita. The way Kodesha Berichu connects to Israel is through the Oraita, through the Torah. Like we explained it, exactly. And here the Pasuk says, the soul of Yaakov was attached to the soul of Binyamin. How do you attach two souls together? If I want to attach two pieces of paper together, I take glue and I attach them together. But if I wanted to attach my soul to your soul, how do you do it? And I've told you this before. The only true connection you can have with a person is through the learning. All other connections that you have with people are superficial. I know you because we play cards together, God forbid. Or we're part of the league. We throw a bowling ball and knock down pins. Like they used to do in the Avodah Zarah of Markulis. Markulis used to set up stones and knock down the rocks. So today they call it a bowling alley. Yeah, same thing. They put on special shoes and they go do it. In any event, huh?
The Flintstones.
Also the same thing. Thanks, Elliot, for that insight. Now watch. So you see over here, the only way you can connect to a person in essence is to learn with them. When you learn with a person, you become a soulmate with that person. Then the Shemot start to connect. Arizal talks about it a lot. The people that you learn with, your connection to them is on a different level. And it's vice versa. The closest people to you are those that you have a spiritual connection to. So Torah is the glue. Torah is the glue. So therefore it must mean, when it says, V'nafsho kishura b'nafsho, how does Yaakov's soul connect to Binyamin's soul? It's only one way. Torah. Now, the word Torah is Tav Vav Resh He. Tav being 400, Vav being 6. Resh He being 205. Torah equals 611. If you take the word Kishura, Kof is 100 and Shin is 300, that's 400. Vav is 6. Resh is 200, that's 606. And here is 5. Kishura equals Torah. V'nafsho, kishura, v'nafsho, pirush, Torah. That's what makes kishura, v'nafsho. V'nafsho, kishura, v'nafsho can only come through Torah. So therefore, Binyamin, I mean, after Yosef, because Yosef was in Egypt, who did Yaakov give the Torah to? To Binyamin. So who better now? When you have a situation where Klal Yisrael is derelict in Chokhmah Binah V'Da'at, as a result, God sends the three nations that represent the Kilipah of Chokhmah Binah V'Da'at. So therefore, Borei Olam sends Ehud ben Gera Haimini, the one that's Nafsho Kishuna ben Nafsho through Torah. He is the right one in order to save Klal Yisrael. You need to bring somebody that's going to connect them again. There's a disconnection. Who knows better how to mikasher Klal Yisrael back to God through Torah than somebody that it happened to? The problem is Klal Yisrael lost their kesher. Once you lose the kesher, stuff happens. So you bring the one that's v'nafsho keshulah v'nafsho, somebody from Shevet Yemini. And the pasuk comes along and says, Ehud makes for himself Herev, a sword, Vela Shene Fiyot. And it's a double-edged sword with two mouths. Normally a sword has one part is dull and the other part is sharp. Here, both parts are sharp. That's called the Herev Shel Shte Piyot. The Mefarshim explain, what is this Herev of Shte Piyot? The Midrash writes, it's a Gemara, that when the Jewish people received the Torah, God said, O Safra, O Saifa. Choose what you want. You want the Sefer or the Saif? The Torah just came down and it was surrounded by the Saif. To say, if you have the Torah, you don't need the Saif. The Torah is the protection of Klal Yisrael. But Hashem, if we don't have the Torah, then we're vulnerable to all these things. The Torah, when it was given on two levels, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. So the Torah can be compared to a Herev Shel Shte Piyot, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. It's a Torah that has double edge. So therefore that Herev is a remez to what he was coming to represent, the Torah that was given on the two levels. Last but not least, it says, the shi'ur of it was gomed. Gomed, Rashi says, is six tefahim, which is an amma. Because the luchot, the Gemara says, was six tefahim by six tefahim. Gomed, incidentally, is Gematria Gimal Mem Dalet 47, but the Kolel is 48, which corresponds the 48 Kinyanim of Torah. So therefore, everything in this chapter over here is very, very precise. We're setting it up now where you have Klal Yisrael delinquent in the Torah. That's the Ra that they did. It's clear from the three nations that came against us, the nations that represent Chokhmah Bina Vadaat. And it's clear from the fact that they went to Ir HaTimarim and that God sent Ehud ben Gera, Ish HaMini, who's the master of the tribe of Venafsho, Keshura Venafsho, and he sends them with the proper tools, Herev Shestepiyot, Gomed, and he is going to be the one to retrieve this kesher, and therefore have the ability to kill Eglon, Melech Moab, Moab again, Gematria 49, which represents the 49 levels, or the 50th, Im the Kolel, that Klal Yisrael obviously was not reaching, but would be able to reach after this is over. So that's the introduction. I mean, again, how many Pesukim did we read today? I mean, last week we read three or four, and today we read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Pesukim. And look at the... I'm not rushing. So that's that. Now let's say one word on the Parashat HaShavua. That's Navi, believe it. Listen, Gabe, you're on the right... Zuri, you're on the right track. I know Zuri. You're on the right track, honey. You're on the right track. Anytime you see Binyamin involved, that's the Mahalach. No, because it was Kishura. Inyan of Kishura. Vayasara b'nei Hashem, so Hashem separated from Klal Yisrael. And since Binyamin is Inyan of Hashem, Kishura. Why? B'nei Rachel. B'nei Rachel. B'nei Rachel is different. Okay, Rabotai, just do me a favor. Bring me Gemara Ta'anit. We'll say something in Gemara Ta'anit. So, what do we have over here? We have over here the blessings of Yaakov to his children, the blessings of Yaakov to his grandchildren. One of the things that he blesses is Hamalach HaGoel Oti Mikol Ra Yibarech Et HaNe'arim V'Yikare Bahem Shemi V'Shem Abotai Abraham V'Yitzhak V'Yidgu LaRov Bekerev Ha'ares. He gives them the special beracha of V'Yidgu LaRov Bekerev Ha'ares. Yidgu, of course, is Milashon Dagim. V'yidgu l'arov, they should be as multiple as the fish. The Gemara says, Ma dagim alalu gedelim b'mayim, kivan shiyordot tipa achat melemala, mekabelim ota b'tzimaon, kimi shelo ta'amu ta'amayim imehem. כך הן ישראל גדלים במים בתורה, כיוון שהם שומעים דבר חדש מן התורה, הם מקבלים אותו בצמאון, כמי שלא שמעו דבר תורה ממהם. So therefore you see that the fish have a tremendous thirst, even though they live in water. But what happens when it rains? The fish jump out of the water to catch the drops. That's the last thing a fish needs, more water. But the fish are so eager to catch new water. It's a new drop. So that's the same thing with the Jewish people. The Jewish people live in the water. They live in the Midrash. They live in the Torah. That's their environment. However, when Klai Yisrael hears new Devrei Torah, that's what it means, like a fish out of water. Not out of water. Fish out of water dies. Fish out of water, meaning in a good sense, that the fish goes out of the water temporarily to catch some more water, and he brings it back into his habitat. That's the comparison that Moshe Rabbein, or that Yaakov tells his grandchildren, the yidgu, they should have the thirst of the fish that can never be quenched, their thirst for Torah. It can never be satisfied. The Midrash then goes on to say, עוד נאמר, that the Jewish people are like a fish, that just like the fish can only live in the water, and once you bring him outside onto the dry land, he has no existence. So to the Jewish people, as long as they're connected to the Torah, they have existence. But once you take them out of the Torah, they lose their existence. That's the comparison to the dog. I've told you many times the great hiddush of Mordechai Gifta, alav shalom, the Rosh Hashiva of Tel Yeshiva. Who's your machut? Yeah, yeah. Wow, beautiful. So now you have over here what Rav Gifta said. So the Jewish people, if you remove them from the Torah, like a fish out of water. Why did it give that mashal fish out of water? Because if a fish is out of water, he dies. Okay, so it could have said, a Jew without Torah is like an elephant without oxygen. I mean, I guess an elephant without oxygen also dies.
Anybody without oxygen.
Chazak Baruch. So why did it give me the mashal of a fish out of water? It could give me a mashal of any creature that you take away its life sustenance, it dies. So he said that because the fish is very, very, very deceiving. When you walk by the water, you don't really hear too much going on. The fish are very, very quiet. They don't even make any noise. You don't even hear them swimming. Underwater, it's silent. People go to the ocean, it's quiet. And all of a sudden, you catch the fish and you take it out of the water and now you see the fish going wild. Thrashing back and forth, banging on the side of the boat, going up. So a guy who doesn't know much
would turn to the fisherman and say, wow, that fish is he's more alive now than he was when he's underneath. He gets fooled by that. The person tells, the fisherman tells the guy, this is the way he dies. This, what you're watching now, is death. All that jumping around, he's not alive. That's the biggest proof that he's about to die. So he gives a false positive. When you think he's most alive, the fish, that's when he's really the most dead. So Rav Gifter would say, you have people that leave the Torah, and you see them living, they're gallivanting, they're dancing, they're jumping around, they're going, they're traveling. So somebody says, Rabbi, you said if you leave the Torah, you're not, the guy's alive. He says, like a fish out of water, that life. That what you see him doing, that's only a siman that he's closer to all the other animals. When they die, they die. The fish, he looks most alive at the time that he's about to expire. That's why they gave the mashal, because you can get food when you see people in the world, well, I don't have Torah, but they have a good life, they're jumping around, they're going around, they're all over the place, they're energy, guys, you tell the guy you're a fish out of water, you're thrashing around the boat, they got you in the hook, let the hook out, you can go back into the water quickly, there's going to come a time where you're going to run out of steam, and you run out of energy, and then the fish just croaks. So that's the second mashal of the Yidgul Arov. The Klai Yisrael only has existence in the water. Now, there's an extreme philosophy that says that and this is the philosophy maybe of the church, but you see it, that it's a false philosophy. It's been proven already today 1,000 times over a day. Their philosophy says that to be a man of God, you can only be a man of God. One has to deprive himself from any of the worldly benefits or pleasures and commit himself solely for the service of God. Then you're a holy person. Any interaction that you have in the physical world, you're compromised. Therefore, they believe you have to be kulul Hashem. The Gemara says a halakha that comes from this. If a goy makes a neder to bring a korban, he doesn't specify what korban. He has to bring a korban olah. Where a Jew, when he makes a neder to bring a korban unspecified, shelamim. They say why? Because a goy can understand a korban olah. It all goes on the mizbeah, all goes to God. Finish, that's it. But he can't understand shelamim, that you give some to God and then the kohanim eat it. How can you eat something that's l'shem shamayim? And then you give it to the owner, and the Gemara says the eating of the Kohen is mechaper. How can eating mechaper? It goes against everything they stand for. That's physical. You take a piece of steak, you're putting all the seasonings on it, they're eating it, you say, this is kapara for the owner. It's going to be kapara for the owner. It's gluttony. It's so therefore they cannot wrap their brains around the Korban Shelamim. Ola, we understand it. All to God, it belongs to them. And our belief is the exact opposite. Our belief is, as we've said many times, Chazak Baruch. Our belief is that if God wanted us to live like that, then he would have kept us in Shamayim like angels. Why would God put us in Olam Hazeh and give us cravings and give us all this type of, you know, desires, if they were not given to us in order to use for the service of Hashem? Interestingly enough, the Torah doesn't say to go to the mountains in Tibet and, you know, meditate and become a monk and just, you know, put yourself in an Indian position and just, you know, levitate the whole day and think about you know, the exact. That's not what God wants. The first mitzvah in the Torah is Peru Revu. First mitzvah, you think it's such a holy book. You think, okay, put Peru Revu somewhere in the middle so nobody sees it. You know, it's embarrassing. Peru Revu means you got to get married. You have to do something, that Peru Revu. This holy Torah is going to start off with that. 100%. The Torah says that's the essence of the Torah. The essence of the Torah is Peru Revu. And the essence of the Goyim Torah is what? No Peru Revu. Celibate.
How's the world
going to
exist?
With sinners like us, from sinners like us. That's what they say. You know, let the sinners create the world, but not us. But what do you see from over here? Obviously, it doesn't work. It backfires. We see it with the corruption and all that. And we could have predicted it because Hashem made the machine that needs certain things. There's a very important hashkafa. Of course, you have to learn Torah. Of course you have to study. Of course you have to be immersed in spirituality. But at the same time, a person has to eat, and a person has to sleep, and a person has to exercise, albeit l'shem shamayim, that's the big difference. That Klal Yisrael uses these things as part of the service. So it's not an interruption of the service. It's part of the service of Hashem. I mean, when we talk about the Arizal, how much kabanot he gave during eating. It's incredible. The kabanot that one has when he eats. He didn't say don't eat. He just said when you eat, there's certain kabanot that you can have, and all of a sudden the shulchan turns into a mizbeah, and the food turns into korban, and that food, the Arizal writes, you can get higher spiritual elevation from the food of Shabbat than the prayers. The way Arizal sets up Shabbat is the prayers are a hachana for the seudah. Arbit is mechin seudat alayla, shahrit is mekabel the morning prayer, and mincha for seudah shlishit. That's why you have to pray mincha before seudah shlishit, because you need the tefillah in order to energize the achilat you're about to eat. Incredible, incredible inyan. And then why do you have to have a seudat melavim malka? The Arizal says because you're taking the kedusha of Shabbat and you're now moving it into the seudot of the week. So you do that transfer of the seudot into melavim. So by doing melavim malka, you're bringing kedusha now into the seudot of chol. I mean, some of the tzaddikim, if you must have heard, like Rav Scheinberg, for example, Avos Shalom, he would only eat from seudat mitzvah. Because seudat mitzvah, the food can have no damage on you. Seudat mitzvah, regular seudat, you can get into trouble if you know, overdo it or something. But if it's a seudat mitzvah, it's all kodesh. So he would only eat from seudat, the brit milah, the pidyon, of siyum. I know tzaddikim that they won't sit down to eat until they make a siyum. Now you're talking about a siyum. So there's a masechet called masechet sisit. It's 2 pages. They read Masechet Sisit, it's a Masechet Katana. They finish it, boom, they sit down to have a Seudah. Amazing thing, because they can't go to Brit Milah every single second, and Pidyon HaBen Bar Mitzvah. The point is, the Torah is not telling you don't eat. When we sit down at the table, we're involved, it's not an interruption of the service. Imen Kemah and Torah, Imen Torah and Kemah, you need both. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this Hashkafa. And that's what the Hakamim said, Bechol derachecha da'ehu. What does it mean? Bechol derachecha da'ehu. God says, you don't have to know me in my ways. In my ways, of course you know me. Why else are you shaking a lulav? Why else are you reading Kiryat Shema? Why else are you putting on tefillin? But bechol derachecha, in all of your ways means eating, going to work, marriage, cleaning your body, in all of your ways, that you have to add a measure of God. Da'ehu means da'at. I'll explain to you the word da'at. What does da'at mean? Da'at means knowledge, but da'at really means to connect. How does the Torah talk about when a man is with his wife? Vayeda Adam et ishto. Vayeda means they connected. Chokmah bina. What connects chokmah and bina?
Da'at. Da'at is always used as the connector. So therefore it's saying, we know that when you're serving God, of course you're connected. But bechol derachecha da'ehu. Da'ehu means you have to connect me into that event as well. That's great. You don't have to be an Ashkenaz to do that. You don't have to be an Ashkenaz to do that. I know some Sfaradim that do that also. Okay, and he says Lechbot Shabbat Kodesh. I know some Australians that say Lechbot Shabbat Kodesh. So you have over here, an amazing concept. The Torah says, בכל דרכיך דאר, והוא יישר אורחותיך. בלעם, who comes from the Goyim's world, he couldn't understand this. You know, to him, it's either all for Caesar or all for yourself. He cannot, you know, split Hatzio Lashem, Hatzio Lachem. He cannot. Bil'am al-Rasha, he couldn't accept this concept. But what does he say? What does he say about the Jewish people? Hen am lebadad yishkon, ubagoyim lo yitchashav. He came to the concept that Am Yisrael is Am lebadad. Simply means we're alone. But Libadad is Rashi Tevot. Bechol derachecha da'ehu. He said, Hen am Libadad. That's the Ubagoyim lo yitchashav. The Goyim, they don't have this Hashkafa. The Hashkafa of Klai Yisrael is Am Libadad. Klai Yisrael is able to eat. They do a Brit Milah, they have a Sa'udah. Brit Milah, they can understand. That's the Mesirut Nefesh V'Hashem. What's the eating? There's no difference. The Sa'udah Mitzvah is just as significant. That we're able to, the way I heard it from Abba Adis, you're able to sublime the Gashmiut. You're able to take the Gashmiut and lift it up. That's the purpose. The Kotzker Rebbe said, Hashamayim Shamayim LaHashem, Ve'ares Natan LeBe'Adam. So the Kotzker said like this, Hashamayim, heavenly things, Shamayim LaHashem, Hashem made them heavenly. You don't need to make the heavens heavenly. Hashamayim Shamayim LaHashem. Ve'aris natan le Adam to make it a shamayim. Don't spend your efforts in making the shamayim a shamayim. Hashamayim shamayim already. LaHashem, Hashem did that. Your job is ve'aris natan le Adam to sublime it and turn the aris into shamayim. You ever go to Hershey, Pennsylvania?
No.
No. Over there, when you get into Hershey, Pennsylvania, it says, "Welcome to heaven on earth." That's what the Kotzker was saying. Not to keep heaven in the heavens. The goal is to bring heaven on earth. Ve'aris natan le Adam to make it a shamayim. Shlomo HaMelech made two takanot, it says. He was metaken nitilat yadayim, and he was metaken iruvin. When he made those two takanot of Nitilat Yadayim and Eruvin, the Gemara says, a heavenly voice came out and said, Benim hacham lebecha yismach gamani. God was so happy when he did this. So the Mefarshim say, two takanot, Nitilat Yadayim and Eruvin. So they said, and God was very happy when he heard this. Benim hacham lebecha yismach lebecha gamani. I'm also happy when I hear such a thing. Why is God so happy? What does Nitilat Yadayim mean? The yadayim represents to remove your hands, something sanctity. The yadayim is the elevation, spiritual things. When a person lifts his hands up to God, what does the word eruvin mean? Eruvin is liyot me'urav, to be mixed in this world. Shlomo HaMelech involved himself in two takanot. On one hand, you have to have the nir of the tirat yadayim. And on the other hand, Eruvin, Masechet Eruvin. You have to be Me'urav Meriyot. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard that, he said, Im hakam lebecha beni, yisma lebecha gamani. I'm very happy with this. That's the balance. On one hand, Klai is involved in kiddusha, netilat yadayim, but at the same time, we're involved in the guy goes to work. He learns for 2 hours. Where's the guy going? He goes to work. Can't believe it. We're not extreme either way. We're not in the mountains in Tibet, and we're not also involved all day long in physical. Could you imagine? The Gemara says on every single day, Hatsyo Lashem, on the holidays, Hatsyo Lashem, Hatsyo Lachem. You have to split the day, half in shul and half at home enjoying yourselves. V'samachta b'chagecha. And there's a machloket, by the way, on that. Some say, no, that really on the holidays you have a day off of work, it should be kudo Lashem. Why should you give anything to, why should you give anything to yourself? Spend the day in the yeshiva. But everybody agrees on Shavuot, you have to have an element of lachem. The amazing thing. On Shavuot, because that's the essence of Torah. The essence of Torah is there has to be an element lachem. That's why, what happened after Matan Torah? Amazing thing. What happens after Matan Torah is an amazing thing. Borei Olam tells Klal Yisrael, you figure after Matan Torah, we saw God, we heard God, we died, we were resurrected. I mean, Matan Torah. The first commandment after Matan Torah is Shuvu Lachem La'olechem. Now God says, go to your tents. Because we had 3 days of Hagbalah, we were forbidden to be with our wives. The first mitzvah after Matan Torah is Shuvu Lachem La'olechem. It's an amazing thing. And the Goyim can't understand that. After such a spiritual ecstasy that you are, because there's no contradiction. The Goyim cannot understand that. They cannot understand that we can be in two worlds. We can be in the world of Torah, and at the same time we can be in the world. And we're able to do both. With Kavanot, of course. Well, I once heard, maybe the Kedushat Zion said it. Parashat B'Shalah. I have it here. You know what? Why should I guess?
I don't want to ruin it. If I'm not mistaken, he said it in Parashat B'Shalah.
Shulchan Aruch writes, "Shebekol ma sheyehne ba'olam hazeh, lo yichaven lehana'ato, ela la'avodat ha'borei yit'ale." Hav kavanah v'kadosh baruch hu. V'chem pirash Rabbeinu Yonah b'perkei Avot, "V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim." Afilu devarim shel reshut, even voluntary things. כגון אכילה, שתייה, וכל צורכי גופך יהיו כולם לעבודת בוראו. Interesting, if you take the word אכילה, אכל יא, שתייה, שתה יא, all these words that have שינה, יודקה, all these physical items have the יודקה in them. Which is a them is to tell us that all these items have the kavanah of yudkeh, without you're not separating them. So he says, "V'ne tevat lachem more al tzorchei aguf." When you say lachem, lachem means your own stuff. Like it says, "Hakol modim ba'atzeret." Everybody agrees on Shavuot. Teba'inan lachem. What's lachem? Eat, drink, and that's what God said to Bnei Yisrael, "Shuvu lachem la'olechem," which means the way Kedushat Zion learns it, "Shuvu lachem la'olechem." that he says in his Lashon, Shetashivu et Tzorche Haguf Gamken Ela Kedusha. The Ohel is Kadosh. The Ohel represents the Midrash, Matovu Ohalecha, Ohel Moed. The goal is, God says, now you got the Torah. Shuvu Lachem, take the Lachem, your stuff, La'ohlechem, and put the Lachem in the Ohel. Understand the concept? Don't keep the Lachem in the street. Take all your stuff and sanctify it. You know, we eat in this synagogue just as much as we pray. If you think about it, that's exactly what Hashem says. Shuvu lachem la'olechem. But we're eating in the synagogue. It's over Saudah. It's over Devre Torah. Shuvu lachem. Take the lachem part of your lives, which is the personal part, and bring it into the Ohel. That's the highest madriga. So he says, but the Yetzer Hara was the enemy of man. He doesn't want you to do that. He just wants you to either be involved in lachem. Just get involved in your physical stuff and get lost in it. He tries to separate lachem from aholechem. He's not against you doing lachem, just not in aholechem. You understand? So the Kiddushat Zion said, Amar Oyev. Who's the Oyev? The Yetzer Hara. Irdof, I'm going to chase Klal Yisrael. Asig, and I'm going to catch them. And how am I going to catch them? Ahalek Shalal. I'm going to break up Shalal. Shalal Lashetevot. Shuvu Lachem La'olechem. The Yetzer Hara says, Ahalek Shalal. I have to break it. Shuvu Lachem. Ahalek, separate the Shuvu Lachem from the La'olechem. That's the Yetzer Hara's trick. To break up the Shalal, Ahalek Shalal, to separate that concept. He's not against you indulging, but don't indulge Lashem Shamayim. Well, if you're Lashem Shamayim, it's not indulging anymore. He's not against Olam Hazeh, but don't put Olam Haba into Olam Hazeh. And we say, no, that's the whole trick of Christ, the Shalal. בכל דה השם הם עם לבדד ישכון בכל דרכי חדאיהו. Understanding so far? It's a big יסוד. So that's the way we explain the pasuk. The pasuk says, וידגול הרוב. What do we say לידגול הרוב means? The fish in the water, Devre Torah, jumping out to get more Devre Torah, a fish out of water, that's the spiritual. But then what does it say? V'yidgu l'arov bekerev ha'aretz. What do you mean bekerev ha'aretz? Bekerev ha'aretz means in the land. What do you mean? Make up your mind. Either v'yidgu l'arov or bekerev ha'aretz. And that's the secret of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael can be Yidgu l'arov bekerev ha'aretz simultaneously. It's not a contradiction that a guy comes to the Bet Midrash, he's a fish, he's learning, he's eating up to the Bet Midrash. Where's he going after? Where are you going now? I'm going to work. Where's work? Bekerev ha'aretz. Bekerev ha'aretz. Make up your mind, are you a fish or are you a land creature? I'm both. But the Hadush is that you bring the inyan of the Yidgul Arov Bekerev Ba'aretz. That's the key. You don't have a separation that over here it's Yidgul Arov and over here it's Bekerev Ba'aretz. No, the Yidgul Arov, where? Bekerev Ba'aretz. You have to take the Yidgul Arov, the Kiddushah, and you have to bring that to Bekerev Ba'aretz. Shuvu Lachem La'olechem. That's the key. That's where the test of man is.
That's why he said in the
what do we say in Tzirat Derech? We say that in Tzirat Derech?
Yes,
perfect. Okay, Har Baruch. Okay, Henry, we have a second emotion. Tanya Kibate Derech. Okay, Rabotai. You also agree with him?
I never saw it.
Okay, let's okay, Rabotai.
Some damage is not in others, right?
Stabud, you risk opening your mouth over here because you wake up all the sleeping giants. I'm not against you speaking, but I'm against the consequence. What happens when a guy opens his mouth? It wakes up a lot of the peanut gallery. Exactly. Okay, now Rabotai. Now I come to say the cherry on the cake. The big Hadushim, anyway, we said the Hadushim Yidgul Arobe Kerebaharis. It was the big Yasod. So the Gemara is on that here. Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzhak Abu Yadveh B'Saudata, the rabbis were sitting having a Saudat of Yitzhak and Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzhak, them amor milta. Tell you some Devre Torah. Amar Lehachi Amar Rav Yohanan, אין מסיחים בסעודה שמייקדים כאן אל הוושת. Then don't you know what Rabbi Yohanan said?
Sure.
You're not allowed to talk during the meal. שמייקדים כאן אל הוושת. That maybe the food will go down the wrong pipe. ויבוא לידי סכנה. This is a terrible סכנה. So you shut them down. No talking during the meal, please. בתר דה סעוד, after they finish the סעודה, okay, now we finish the Seudah, I'll tell you the Devre Torah now. Amar Lehachi Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Yaakov Abinu lo met. Abinu lo met. Amar Leh, Echi Bichdi, Safdu Safandaya, Vachantu Hantaya, Vechavru Chavraya. I don't know what the Torah says, they buried him. I don't know if it says they buried him, but it says they embalmed him, it says they eulogized him. He said, what do you want from me? Amar Leh Mikra Ani Doresh. And he goes, gives a whole pilpul, why Yaakov Abinu lo met. This is Parasha, Yaakov Abinu. This Gemara is very, very hard to understand. First of all, he tells him, "En Masihim betoka Sa'uda, Shema Yagim Ke." It would have been faster to say the Devre Torah than to say what he said. The Devre Torah was Yaakov Abinu lo met. Yaakov Abinu lo met, that's four words. Instead, what did he say? Say something. En Masihim betoka Sa'uda, Shema Yagdim Kane Laveshin Viyavod Yidin Sakana. It would have been faster for him just to say the Chiddush. Explanation is, the simple pshat is, listen, he was the one that's saying this, so he stopped eating. But he's worried that when you say Devre Torah, what happens? There's a back and forth. So the one that's saying Devre Torah will stop eating, but the guy who's in the middle, he's going to answer, hey, what about this question? So I'm not worried about me. I stopped eating, but I'm worried about you, that you're going to answer back, therefore, no talking. Exactly, no talking. After he finishes the Seudah, Kacham tells the Hiddush, Yaakov Abinu lo met. And I ask the question, Yaakov has two names. He's called Yaakov, he's called Israel. Vayikrebu Yemei Israel Lamut. Why does the Gemara say Yaakov Abinu lo met? Why does it say Israel Abinu lo met? Especially that Israel is the higher level.
Rabbi
Mansur is going to say a new drasha today. What does it mean, Yaakov? And there's got to be a flow to this Gemara. That has to be a flow. You can't just learn this Gemara choppy. So the explanation I saw based on something that the Devre Yoel said in Chelek Bet, Satmar Rebbe. It's based on him. He said like this, based on the whole Derash we're giving today, there's no separation between Ruchniut and Gashmiut, exactly. It's all the same to us. We bring the Ruchniut into the Gashmiut. The Zohar Hadash writes, Sha'at Achila, Sha'at Milhama. The time of the eating is the time of war. What's the Pshat? Because that's when the Yetzer Hara tries to get you. When you're learning, there's no Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara falls apart during the learning. But when you start to eat and get involved in physical stuff, then he tries to get you. That's where the war is, to try to eat L'Shem Shamayim and drink L'Shem Shamayim and do those things. That's the challenge. But in Judaism, we believe that a person just has a simple kavanah, so I can convert this energy into learning. You've sanctified it. You don't have to think of too much deep things. But that's the war. Like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Hevu zehirin barshut. Be careful from the reshut. Reshut is the government. What does it mean, be careful of the government? Reshut is the government. She'ena mekarbim le'adam ela letzorech hana'atam. נראים כאוהבים בשעת הנעתם ואין עומדים לו לאדם בשעת דוחקו. The government, they use you. And when they don't need you, they spit you out. But the Mekubalim learned the Mishnah like this. Hevu zehirin. You know where you have to be zahir? Bershut. In devarim of reshut. That's where you have to be zahir. In devarim of mitzvah, it's like can't touch you. Mitzvah is magna umatzla. When you're doing a mitzvah, the mitzvah protects you from the yetzer hara. But hevu zehirin bershut. When you get involved in voluntary stuff, like eating and drinking and sleeping and basketball and stuff like that, that's where you have to be. Ki tetze lemilchama al oyevecha. What does Hashem say? B'milchemet ha-reshut ha-ketuv medaber. The biggest war we have is milchemet ha-reshut. Ki tetze lemilchama al oyevecha. The oyev, amar oyev, erdof asig. That's where he wants to catch us. Not in Mechamed Mitzvah, he can't touch us in Mechamed Mitzvah. We're doing a Mitzvah. But B'Melchemet HaReshut HaKatuv Metaber. In that war of Reshut, of the personal stuff, that's what the Torah is warning us. Be careful of that fight. What does it mean that Yaakov is called two names? Abraham is also called two names, but the first name is banned. We're not allowed to call him by Abraham anymore.
Those are very similar.
Well, Abraham is not Abraham. And the Torah says if you call him Abraham, you're over on an aseh and a lo ta'aseh. You're not allowed to call him Abraham anymore. You can only call him Abraham. Whereas in Yaakov's name, it says in the Gemara, lo shi'aker Yaakov bimkomo, ela Yaakov bimkomo omedet, Aval Yisrael Ikar. What happened in Yaakov's name, it becomes what we call Ikar v'tafel. Yisrael is Ikar, and Yaakov is Tafel. I'm going to explain to you what that means now. What's the Ikar of Klal Yisrael? Learning, mitzvot, what do we come into this world for? To eat? Of course not. What's the primary purpose of what we came into this world for? Torah. And I'm not going to review Tfilah whole Mishnah Yisharim every time you sit down and learn. You have to know the Mishnah Yisharim says the purpose is Torah Mitzvot. That's represented in Yisrael. Sar'el, you're involved in godly things. Yisrael has God in it. Yaakov is the heel, bodily things. Yisrael is the Ikar, but don't think we're not allowed to be involved in Yaakov things also. We're allowed to be involved in Yaakov things also. Even things that have to do with the Ekeb, with the physical body. The Mekubalim say, Yud always represents Chokhmah. Yud Chokhmah. Of Hashem's name, Yud Kevavke, the Yud is Chokhmah, the He is Bina. The Vav is the Vav, the He is Malchut. Yud is Chokhmah. The goal of Yaakov is Yud Akev. To take the low things, like physical, and put the yud in it, yud chokhmah. Put the chokhmah into the yud, into the akev. So Klai Yisrael, God could not say you cannot use the name Yaakov anymore. That would be going against everything we learned here today. It's true, Yisrael, Ikar. But Yaakov, Omed Bimkomo, Yaakov stands in his place. And that teaches us how to interact with this world. When we're interacting in the world, eating and drinking, Yaakov. When we're interacting with God, we're called Yisrael. And that's why when Bil'am comes along and he understands this finally, he says, what's more permanent? An ohel, which is a tent, or a Mishkan, which is a tabernacle. Clearly the Mishkan is more permanent. So he says, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Yisrael. That Yaakov is the Ohel. Ohel is his tent. Shuvu Lachem La'olechem. But Mishkenotecha Yisrael, Yisrael is permanent. He saw the difference between the two. So far, so good? Now we continue. We continue. I'm not finished. So now, we said like this. God gave us two pipes. We have Kaneh, and we have Veshet. These two pipes serve God in different ways. The Kaneh is the windpipe. That's the pipe that we use to learn Torah with. The Veshet, however, is the food pipe. That's the pipe we serve God with eating. To us, we don't have a difference between Kaneh and Veshet. To us, the Kaneh is Kodesh and the Veshet is Kodesh.
That's why you have to cut both.
That's why when you're learning, you're doing the service of God. And when you're eating, you're doing the service of God. Imagine a person sits down at a meal. And he sits down at a meal. And as he's eating, all of a sudden, he takes out a book and he starts to learn. Wouldn't be a bad thing at all. But Satmar Rebbe says, it would give an impression as if what you're doing here is not, it needs to be fixed by something. Why do you have to open up a book? You could think of simple kavanot l'shem shamayim, and it's okay. By taking out a book, it's as if you're saying, this is a mistake, this is a waste of time. So now he explains the Gemara like a charm. He says, Rav Nachman v'Rav Yitzchak kavu yatve b'se'udata. The rabbis were sitting at a se'udah. What were they involved in? They were involved in eating. And that's a service. Amar Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, lema lan mor bilta. He said, what are we doing? We're wasting our time, Rabbi. We're eating. Say some divrei Torah. Amar le, what are you talking? When you're eating, we don't involve ourselves in anything else. That the people might give more credence to the kaneh than the veshet. They're going to think that the kaneh is more important than the veshet. And that's sakana. Because if you think that when you're eating and involved, that it's a separation, it's an interruption, you're giving more credence to the kaneh than the veshet. There's no need to say anything during the meal. During the meal, we have to say nothing. You're eating l'shem shamayim. Listen to what I'm saying. Before you reject it.
Reject
no, before first put your feet straight. Who taught you differently?
Maybe you, I don't know.
Okay, maybe I said before you reject it.
Continue.
Rabotai, I got permission to continue. So now, Tanya Kibatederav. Okay, another guy. I told you, Elliot. Rabotai, we're not in a presidential debate. You're not obligated to stay in the class. If you disagree with it, you know where the exit is. Do me a favor, give Elliot a lift when you go, David. In any event, the pasuk is saying over here, the Gemara is saying over here, Rabotai, digest. Why don't you learn once in your life to listen? So you can understand deep concepts. I'm telling you something from the Safa Rebbe. Give the benefit not to me. I'm only the way to delivering the Devre Torah from the Devre Yo'el. He says that by coming in the middle of the meal and having to think that you need to do something outwardly, that gives the impression that the eating itself is nothing. So he said, we don't want to give that impression. Shema Yagdim, somebody will prioritize that the kaneh is more. In Judaism, the kaneh and the veshet are the same service. So they ate. He understood the lesson. He said, just eat l'shem shamayim. Don't talk so much. Batar the Sa'uda. What does he say? Yaakov Avinu lo met. He says, in Judaism we believe that not only is Yisrael lo met, but even the helik of Yaakov lo met. Yisrael lo met for sure. Yisrael represents his Devre Torah was actually the completion of the Musad that he was trying to say over to the Rav. That in Klal Yisrael we believe that just like Yisrael is important, Yaakov is important also. To add the inyan of the Yud, which is Chokmah into the Akev, that element as well is not considered bet. Don't think that when you're involved in physical things, man, this is met, this is a waste of time. Yaakov lo met. Even when you're involved in these inyanim, it's not considered met. It's Hayim just as much as the Kaneh is Hayim, the Vesher is also Hayim. Now, to answer your interruptions, both of you, because obviously you don't understand the concepts, we're not saying you shouldn't say Devrei Torah on the table. David's questioning from it. He remembers a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot somewhere that it says that three people that sit at a table that don't say Devrei Torah, it's like that. When did it mean? When the middle of eating? Or maybe it meant like these rabbis that after they finished the Sa'uda? Maybe it meant exactly like this. When did I say Devrei Torah? When they're chewing on the food? Or they finished the Sa'uda and then somebody says Devrei Torah? And the concept why it's done that way is to show that we don't need to kosher up at the time. It's kosher. Now you want to say Devrei Torah on the table to do another tikkun? Good luck. But even without the Devrei Torah, you didn't waste your time, because if you were eating Lashem Shamayim and you took the Lachem and you brought it to the Olechem, it's okay. So I don't know who taught you otherwise, and don't blame it on me that I taught you otherwise. You misunderstood what they told you. That's all it means, you misunderstood what they told you. But I'm glad that we're able to set the record straight. And that's what it means in the Gemara, Yaakov Avinu lo met. That not only Yisrael Avinu lo met, which is obvious, but even the Chelik of Yaakov, and that's that Devrei Torah, it's perfect. They were having a Sa'uda. He told them, don't interrupt, Shema Yagdim, and then he finishes it with Yaakov Avinu lo met. Amen. Amen.